What is Christmas really? Yeah, I think whoever you ask that to would probably give you different answers. If you're talking to a merchant, they're probably talking about a chance to bolster up their figures before the end of the year. If you're talking to a child, they got a gleam in their eye of the Santa Claus and the presents and all that good stuff. A lot depends who you ask. If you ask someone in the church, usually we get a churchy answer. And the churchy answer is, well, it's the birth of Jesus. Okay, with all of that said, my question remains, what is Christmas really? What's the birth of Jesus mean? What's the big deal about the birth of Jesus? The prophet Isaiah, you may never have heard a Christmas message out of the prophet Isaiah. This will be your first. The prophet Isaiah had an amazing intuition, open door into the heavens concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, concerning the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God spoke to him in the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah and said the following. It's not going to go on the board. I know you're used to this. Okay, I'm just going to do it old school. Isaiah chapter 11, if you have your Bible, feel free to open verse 1 to 10. So there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt on his waist. Hallelujah. I want you to think about the next three verses here. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the young goat, and the calf of the young lion with the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the snake's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Hallelujah. You ever cut down a tree or a bush near your home? No matter how much you cut it down, how far you get it, it just seems to grow back. Last year, a bunch of guys cut a tree down in the corner of our property over here. Ugly tree. Just got in the way. Cut that puppy down. Just got rid of it. Wouldn't you know, a month later, there was a bush there. Ugly tree became a pretty good looking bush. Isn't that right, Brother David? Hallelujah. You know, when you cut down a tree, there's still life in those roots. And that's what the prophet's prophesying about. You know, for all of us here, at one moment or the other at least, there's just something about the past that tends to attract us. You know, we're looking for something. We're looking for the good old days or whatever they were. Deep in every, no matter how bad of a childhood you might have had, there was some good memories. And from time to time, we find ourselves being drawn back to that. What if? Could it go back to the way it used to be before I did this and before all that happened? Hallelujah. There's actually a desire to repeat at least some of the experiences of our past. Hallelujah. I think there's the hope in this of recapturing some form of thrill or some bit of excitement. You know, the good old days, the days of joy, they're all gone now, but we start to miss them. You say, well, that's not really so. Well, let me challenge you to go home and take a look at your house. We have a tendency, even in my generation and younger people, we decorate our houses with kerosene lamps and candles from the past. My grandmama and mama couldn't wait to get rid of that stuff. It just stunk up the house, but we want it back. We bring it back trying to hang on to something. My goodness, as soon as my mom and grandmama got electricity, they threw the candles out. But we want the old days, so we bring them back. Hallelujah. You know, most people, they don't think they have a cozy home until they put in this stinky, drafty fireplace. The same thing that grandma and grandpa couldn't wait to brick up and get it out of their lives. There's just something charming about a fireplace, right? You stand in front of it, you fry the front and freeze the back. Hallelujah. And you just keep throwing wood in that puppy no matter what. And yet, as inefficient as they are, and as quick as our grandparents wanted to get rid of them, we put them back in our houses. Could it be we're looking for something from the past? Hallelujah. Most of us at least remember people in our lifetimes growing food on their property. And there's something else. I know you guys had a bigger farm. Some people's farms the size of a flower bush with a flower pot with a tomato plant in it. There's something about us. I'm looking at my wife now. She got one of them puppies. She got a big one. Hallelujah. We put no food on our table. Just took up a whole bunch of sunshine. Hallelujah. But there's something about us that says, well, that was the way it used to be, so I'm going to go back and do it myself. We all got to go back to the old days and back to the cook. We're going to kick it old school. We're going to go back and do it the way our parents used to. Our parents couldn't wait to get out of that life. But somehow we want the past. Hallelujah. We all celebrate anniversaries and birthdays, and that's a good thing to do, but it's not always just to remember the occasion. I think sometimes we actually try to relive the moments that used to be. Let me go back to the early days of the marriage. Let me go back to the early days when the children were little. Let's just go back and think about all of that. Hallelujah. After all, there were some moments of joy there. And in the midst of all I'm going through, maybe I can get a little bit of that and extract some of that joy and have it now. Hallelujah. So y'all looking at me funny, but you know it's true. We're all trying to go back to the past and get something out of it. Hallelujah. That's actually a very common human yearning, to go back and find the good old days. I won't ask for a show of hands how many, when we think of the good old days, we don't think of the bad old stuff that we used to do and was done to us. But we do find some things. We do find a birthday or Christmas memory. We find a time when my dad and uncles didn't all get drunk. We had some fun before they got loaded. Hallelujah. Y'all laughing. You must have the same relatives I got. Same kind anyway. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, as kids, we used to sit back and watch the adults get loaded. That was real fun for us. Hallelujah. But it's a common human yearning within us. But you know, I really think there's a similar yearning when it comes to our deep religious truths. I think there's something in us that goes back and wants the good old days. You know, give me that old time religion. Hallelujah. Yeah, matter of fact, there's another prophecy that says, seek ye the old paths, for the old ways, they are better. And there's something in us. We look back and say, but remember the revivals of old. Remember the great moves of God. We always want to go back to the past and say, can I get a piece of it? We want to relive it. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Deep within our human memory, there's a picture of a form of reality that no longer exists. And from time to time, we get a hold of that picture and we take it out, just like a photograph in your wallet. And we look it over and we think about it. And we think about how it was back then and how it could have been and all that was going on. But sometimes we do the same thing with our Jesus. Yeah, we pull our Jesus out of our wherever we're hiding them. Hello. And we kind of look at him, we dust him off a little bit. So, oh yeah, I remember when I first met Jesus. I was so in love way back then. I had an experience many years ago in a denominational church, of which I will not name on purpose. They let me preach, which was strange because I was I had this problem that I married a woman who was married once before. And according to their wrong doctrines, I couldn't do anything in the church. But they let me preach one Sunday night. It was amazing. And I remember coming down off the platform. I had a big platform in the church, big old church. And the two oldest members of the church, who are now home in the hands of Jesus, they met me at the stairs. And I'm on my way down the stairs, brother, and I'm thinking to myself, do I really dare? You got to understand something about old people in the church. They get real particular about what goes on. I got down the bottom of the stairs. You know who I'm talking about, Brother Jeff. I got down there and I didn't know what to do, so I reached out my hand. I figured, you know, I'd shake her hand or fight him off, one of the two. And they were filled with joy and crying all at the same time. And the man looked at me and said, "Brother George, that was great. That's the way it always used to be in our church." And without thinking, I simply looked at him with tears in my eyes and said, "My God, what happened to it?" You see, they remembered back when the Holy Ghost used to move. They remembered when there was healings. They remembered when there was salvation. They had a picture that night they took out and looked at and brushed it off. Said, "I'd sure like to go back there." We all kind of do that from time to time, don't you? Well, I know you don't hear this on Christmas, but you're hearing it tonight. Hallelujah. There was a place, long time ago, it was called Eden. There was a place that was so special, so great, that God chose that place to put His people and chose that same place to come down and have a walk with them and a talk with them. Hallelujah. You and I have never been there. It was a long time ago. But there's something in us. There's something in our spiritual DNA. Something in our spiritual memory that remembers the Garden of Eden. And I think from time to time, maybe not all the time, from time to time we say, well, can't we go back to that simplicity? Can't we go back to walking and talking with God? Can't we just have that in the cool of the morning? Hallelujah. Even though we've never lived there, we can't escape the memory of it. Eden was a beautiful place. Read it for yourself in the book of Genesis. It was a place where everything was wonderful. Everything was great. Everything was just so perfect. There was peace in the garden. There was harmony in the garden. There was unity in the garden. Everything. Everything we could ever want in a life today was found in the Garden of Eden. God made it for us. And then something happened. Bible says, the same book of Genesis, if you like to read the story sometime, it said that there was a loss of the garden. When the devil came in and started talking with Adam and Eve, and they made some decisions, whether you believe that story or not, let me tell you, when that story was over, everything was changed. You don't have to believe in a serpent. You don't. I don't. I choose to. But whatever happened, Brother Dave, when the story ended, the world was different forever. Because of those decisions, because of what happened, Adam and Eve were removed from the garden. Bible says that God set an angel at the gateway, says, they can't come in here no more. The very things we wanted, the peace, the harmony, the beauty, gone now. Now we fight. Now we fight nation to nation, person to person, family member to family member. We fight. Hallelujah. It wasn't meant to be that way. But because of the serpent, because of the decisions we made to follow a life of sin, taken away. Wasn't there. I'm old. I'm not that old. Wasn't there, but I tell you right now, I miss the idea of the Garden of Eden. I miss paradise. Of being able to have perfect harmony. Having peace that surpasses human understanding. All of that taken away. Our earth. Have anybody looked at the news lately? I've never seen a time, I'm not that old, I'm 60s plus, I don't think I've ever seen as many wars and rumors of wars as I've seen right now. Some of you folks are older, you may have. Maybe you've seen that. But it begins to worry me. I look around, there is no peace, there is no such thing as humanity understanding one another. There's no such thing as reaching out to help one another. It's all been lost. All that peace, all that harmony, all that unity, gone. Sealed forever. Or was it? Hallelujah. You see, when God set the angels, things begin to come out in us like anger and strife and enmity and mistrust. We begin to fight and we've lost our authorities. Now is one man lording over another man. We've lost authority over the animal kingdom. Hallelujah. Everything, what we see now is not the way it was supposed to be. glory unto God. We are now far removed from innocence. We're far removed from peace. We're far removed from harmony. And our picture of this beautiful place that God created for us, the existence that God wants us to have, is now marred forever. Hallelujah. But the memory is ever present. The prophet Isaiah captured that thought. I'm going to read a paraphrase of what I read earlier. It said, in that day, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together, and the leopard and the goats will be at peace. Can someone say peace? Calves and fat cattle will be safe amongst the lions, and a little child shall lead them all. The cows will graze amongst the bears, cubs and calves will lay together, and the lions will eat grass like the cows. Babies will crawl safely among poisonous snakes. And when a little child puts his hand in the nest of deadly poisonous snakes, he'll pull it out unharmed. For nothing will hurt or destroy in my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so shall the earth be filled with the knowledge of God. That seems like such a different world than the one we're living in right now, doesn't it? That's not what I see. What happened? Hallelujah. In the midst of where we are, listening to what I just read, there's a glorious hope in the words of this prophet. We have been told that the things of Eden, the peace, the harmony, the unity, will return. Hallelujah. Some call it a dream. I'll call it prophetic words. The words of the prophets always come to pass. The words of Isaiah are coming to pass. Why should this not come to pass? Hallelujah. Is it possible to have that kind of peace? The prophet said it's going to be a reality. And he said it's going to occur when there shoots forth a limb from the chopped down tree of the house of the King of David. See, Isaiah lived to see the fall of the kingdoms. Isaiah lived to see a lot of things that you and I never want to see. Hallelujah. He knew that the glory had been given to the house of David, but he's seen the house of David fall. We've seen a lot of things fall in our lifetimes. A lot of people we looked up to, a lot of things we trusted in, have fallen. But the prophet says it's coming back. So there's going to be a new branch, and that branch is going to appear right from the roots of the stump of the King of David. And I'm going to use a word here most Christians are afraid of. He said, when that branch appears, it will be the beginning of a new age. Oh, hallelujah. I hear people talking about new age. I hear people preaching about new age. Christians are scared to death of new age. But do you understand that the prophet Isaiah said that when the branch that comes from the root of David comes, it will start a new age. Hallelujah. Isaiah lived in a century when it was clearly evident to men of vision and men of God that King David's dynasty was passing away. A lot of people look at us today, the whole world, and say we've already had our best times. I don't think so. I don't think so. Hallelujah. People that time knew that David's dynasty could never recover from the sickness, this death. The glory of King David had lived on for some time in his son Solomon. The nation prospered, but then again the old sins, the old enemies, hatreds and angers and mistrusts came back in David's ancestors. The people and the nation were now split, setting the stage for you to see how silly it sounded to hear the prophet say this, and yet how refreshing were his words. The people and the nation had split asunder. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, they lasted for about 200 years. And during that time, they even warred against one another. Brother to brother, parent to son, people shooting each other. They made treaties and broke them, snaping across the borders. Some things never change. Then, when they had run their course and done all they could do, there came a lashing punishment from God. It came from the east. It's called the Assyrians. Why did the Assyrians come? Because God sent them to bring his people to their knees. The northern kingdom was swept away. with the vengeance of God. Ungodly armies from the east swept through the countryside. They came to the very gates of the city of God. The troops looked at the holy city, the temple. Hallelujah. But they looked with vengeance and destruction burning in their hearts. Any person of vision, any person of God could see and know that the future of that tree, which was David, was about to be doomed. It would be cut down, and we know historically it was. The prophet spoke for God and about God's plan when he saw that a branch would come forth. You know, everything we have seen in our lives fall apart, we have a promise from God. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's life in the United States or wherever part of the world you're from. We've seen it all fall apart, but the prophet says there's good times coming. There's peace coming back. There's harmony coming back. When I ask, what does this birth of Jesus mean? I'm going to tell you right now what it means. It means that Jesus opened the door that we can go back into the paradise that God originally created. We can have the peace. We can have the harmony. We can have the unity because Jesus Christ was born. Jesus is the branch. Hallelujah. Born from the lineage of David that opened up the door, removed the curse, that we can return to that wonderful Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. I mean, is there any wonder in Jesus' day why people looked at him and they realized the meaning and the impact of his life and ministry? They knew a lot more than we do today. They knew that Jesus had his roots in Judaism, but they also realized that the fruits that he bore were a lot different than the tree that had been cut down before him. Hallelujah. The fruit on Jesus' tree bore very little resemblance to the old warring and killing. To those disciples, first century, it was very clear that Jesus, being born in a manger and dying on a hillside, was a banner to all the world that paradise had been reborn and reestablished. We're about to worship Christmas. But what does it mean? The new age I spoke of occurred when the knowledge of God and the obedience of God was reborn in a single person. See, Jesus not only knew God, he obeyed him all in one person. But even more, it came to power as it was reborn, not just in his heart, but in the hearts of people who followed him. If God only did this one thing for Jesus, we'd be in trouble. But God gave Jesus the ability to have communication with him and teach us how to have the same communication, to have the wisdom and knowledge of God and teach us the wisdom and knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Jesus knew how to live in the presence of God. We're still trying to figure that one out. There's only one way to learn. It's through Jesus Christ. He understood the will and the ways of God like no man ever did or ever will again. Jesus, the new branch, was one whose total being was filled with counsel and might. Hallelujah. He not only knew how to live before God, but he could live before others with power. The very power of God. What's Christmas really mean? Silver bells and red ribbon? Christmas trees? Or does it mean a pathway back to the power of God? Hallelujah. Jesus was able to withstand the force of evil and the powers of destruction and death. Where do we draw our power from? Hallelujah. Is it for some guy with a white beard and a red suit? I was listening to a radio program today, and they were talking about different patents for people who invented things. Somebody actually went to the trouble of patenting a nativity scene with Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer all mixed in with the Christ child. Hallelujah. God knows you had to patent that. Someone's going to steal that idea. Please, somebody steal that idea. Oh, hallelujah to God. Jesus could actually offer advice to everyone in words that actually made sense. Hallelujah. I counsel people for a living during the week. I tell you what, I wish I could counsel as good as Jesus did. I got to keep talking until I find something to say. Jesus knew what to say. Hallelujah. Jesus, the branch, the new branch, Hallelujah. He was a man who was filled, his total being was filled with the knowledge and the fear of God. That all been taken away. We'd lost all of that. By the time we get to the Bethlehem story, all of that's gone. Eden is closed. We have been cursed. We're not allowed back in. Then here comes a baby. And in that baby is the embodiment of all the power, all the glory that we know to be God. Jesus overflowed with a personal and intimate relationship with the God of creation, the God of Eden. Hallelujah. You know what? There was something about that Galilean. He just knew how to walk with God. Oh, hallelujah. And he knew how to talk with God. And you know what? Maybe more importantly, he knew how to listen to God. Even more importantly, maybe, he could teach us how to do it. It wasn't just him. He taught 12, who taught thousands, who taught millions, who taught the world. Hallelujah to God. We are about, in the next couple hours, to celebrate this wonderful day called Christmas. Historically, Jesus probably was not born on the 25th of December. So if someone wants to argue about that, agree with them. But here's the point. He was born. He did come. Hallelujah. Some churches actually use the word called Advent. There's several Advents. There's the Advent of the coming of Christ, the Advent of the Easter Sunday, the Advent of the second coming of Christ. This Advent that we're about to worship and celebrate was so important. Not just to people 2,000 years ago, but to every single human being that ever was, never will be. Glory unto God, because this baby brings with him a new world order. This baby brings with him the keys to the Garden of Eden. This baby brings to him a reopening of paradise that was lost to all of us. So when we think of Jesus tomorrow, and I hope we do think of Jesus tomorrow, I hope you can get past the nativity scene. I hope you can get past all the stories and the songs. Enjoy them, but get past them. And realize, because Jesus made a decision to come here as a human being, as a baby, with him he brought the keys to paradise. Keys to a life of peace. A life of unity. A life of harmony. A life of getting along one with another. Hallelujah. I hear silly people saying, why can't we just all get along? I have an answer for that if you have the time. It's because we've turned away from the Prince of Peace. We've turned away from the Lord of Lords. I hear people say, well, why don't God fix it? Why don't we fix our relationship with Him? And all that other stuff would be fixed. Hallelujah. But as it was in His day, people ignored Him. They let him go. They said, oh, it's just a baby crying in the manger. What's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. Jesus finished the work so that we can now proclaim that the old has passed away and the new has come. And that new is a world of peace. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask, you wore the suit, you're in trouble. Just if you would, come, just like the one on the end, let the people handle the hand it over. There is a new world coming, a new world order. But you know what's coming in that new world? There's a innocence coming in that new world. A place where children can be children. People can be people without having to play the game and be something they're not. I don't know about y'all, when I think of innocence, my first thought comes to children. I deal with children in first, second grade sometimes. And to find innocence amongst children, they've been spoiled. They've been lied to. They've been abused. They've been all kinds of things happened. They're not innocent anymore. God said, through Jesus Christ, I will restore innocence. Hallelujah. I will restore innocence. I love that. There's a new world coming, and with that world comes harmony. All working together. Everyone doing what they're supposed to do, fulfilling the roles that God gave them to fulfill. Do you know how much smoother, how much better Our world would be if we simply did what we were called to do, what we were created to do, and to be what God said we are. We are told that through the birth of this Son, Jesus Christ, that will be restored to this earth. Hallelujah. There's a new world coming, a new age. We could call it... They're going to sing, right? Okay. No. If you do me a favor and walk around and shut the lights off, I'd appreciate it. Eden, paradise, is returning. It's a place where we can live again for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The new age indeed is returning us to paradise. So the next time someone, a preacher or someone else, says, "What's Christmas all about?" Maybe you can think about tonight and say, it's about returning to paradise. It's about returning back to the perfection that God promised us. I thank God that Jesus saved me from my sin. I thank God that my name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. But do you understand there's a practical application to this as well? When you're trying to tell someone about Jesus, and once you get past the part where you can be saved, and they go, "So what? Now what are you going to bring? How about this? How'd you like to get hooked up with a guy who's going to bring paradise back? How'd you like to go back to Eden and live in the innocence, peace, and harmony?" Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. There's a common benediction. It says, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. For as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen and amen." Would you join us as we sing Silent Night? Hallelujah. Rock concert, it's okay.